Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
10 seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Diggs.
Stay
up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And welcome to the State of Purple Initial Reaction Podcast. I'm AJ Mansour here again with Jack Day. We are both live at U.S. Bank Stadium reacting with our initial reactions to a stinker of a game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Cleveland Browns. Jack, how you doing, man?
Doing well. It was fun to be back in the stadium and hear the crowd kind of had the life sucked out of them there at the end a little bit, but it was fun to be back. I told you this before this. It was my first time back probably since either 2018 or 2019, so it's cool always being back in this beautiful building. Unfortunately, it was probably the ugliest game we've seen out of this team thus far, and it kind of changes the outlook to the rest of the season, sitting at 1-3 instead of getting to 2-2, kind of like how we talked about earlier last week.
Yeah, no doubt. It definitely looked like a game between two coaches that knew each other very well, knew exactly what to do against the other one to slow them down, to prevent points, to frustrate their key players. And for the Minnesota Vikings, that included a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins. We have been praising this offensive line for the last couple of weeks. We've been praising Kirk Cousins for the last couple of weeks for great play, leading these teams, leading the Minnesota Vikings back to an opportunity to win that game 2 weeks ago against Arizona, dominating Seattle last week. All that came crashing down today, Jack. Do you think that the Browns schemed this perfectly or the Vikings just played poorly?
I think it was a little bit of both. It was honestly fairly ugly on both sides. I think the Browns had an uglier game plan. The Vikings played bad. I think the biggest frustration is we've been watching through the first 3 weeks, we watched this Vikings team put up points. And then finally the defense turns around. It's been inconsistent. I brought this up on the show last week. Ever since Kirk Cousins has been in Minnesota, the inconsistency has continued since he signed in 2018. It's either the Vikings put up points and the defense allows points, or the defense has a good game and the Vikings kind of just put up nothing. I know they put up 7 points right away today, marched right down the field, and that was really the only thing this offense did. Like, it was frustrating to watch. They couldn't get any rhythm going. Like you said, the offensive line, Rashad Hill, I think one of the sacks was Myles Garrett, just blew right through. He didn't go around, didn't do any of his crazy maneuvers that he has in his repertoire. He ran right through Rashad Hill. And I don't know if this is a question for next week or a couple weeks down the road, but I think Vikings fans are going to start calling to see Christian Darrisaw at left tackle. And it was just ugly on the offense. There really wasn't anything going outside of Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins had a couple nice throws to Justin Jefferson, one of which got called back, I believe was a holding penalty. But the offense just couldn't get in rhythm, and it sucks because I think if you and I would have known that the Browns are going to score 14 points prior to this, I think we both would have bet a lot of money that the Vikings would have won this one. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, no doubt. And I wonder, Jack, too, is it your opinion then that Kirk Cousins played poorly, or was he just not given an opportunity to play well? Because I think that there's an argument to be had on both sides of that, right?
Kirk didn't play
his best game. Kirk did not play well, but that offensive line gave him little to no time to really get comfortable. And then the quarterbacks for Cleveland played better than we thought they would.
Yeah, and it was kind of similar to what the Vikings did to the Seahawks last week. Cleveland just had the ball for the entire game. That's kind of what it felt like. When the Vikings were on offense,
yeah,
it felt like we were going to fall asleep. It was kind of just one of those games where it was kind of tough to watch, honestly. But, I think there's plenty of blame to go around on Kirk Cousins' side, but I think play calling, I think that's the biggest thing. I've had people blowing up my phone already after this game saying, what happened to the play call in this game? Because we were talking about this earlier in the week. Clint Kubiak was ranked, I think, the number one play caller in terms of PFF efficiency or some analytics thing for the smarter people. But he was ranked the highest rated offensive play caller, and that didn't show today. There was weird plays where they handed the ball off, and like Kirk Cousins has been so good up to this point. It seems like you want to ride out the hot hand, especially when I know Alexander Mattison had a great game against Seattle last weekend, but this Cleveland front is not anywhere near what Seattle's was. Cleveland is a lot stronger on the defensive side of the ball, and I was thinking the only way to really win this game was to let Kirk Cousins utilize his arm and play kind of how he's been playing through the first 3 weeks of the season. And it blows my mind that I'm looking at the stat sheet right now, that he threw 38 times, because it did not feel like that. It didn't feel like he even had time to throw 38 times today. But like I said, I think the best word to explain it is just it was ugly, and the inconsistency from the defense, it's frustrating. They can never put a full game together where the offense goes out and puts up 30 plus points and the defense only allows 14 points. When the defense allows 14 points, the Vikings somehow find a way to only score 7 points, and it's frustrating. I think the Browns, you have to give credit where credit is due, and I think the Browns do have a solid defense, but they were outcoached by the Cleveland Browns. And Kevin Stefanski comes back home, and he gets to go, hop on a plane home to Cleveland now, and it's going to be a lot happier for them than it is going to be in that Vikings locker room.
Yeah, no doubt. I think a lot of the things that we thought we were going to see coming into this game, we saw. We saw an aggressive defensive front from the Cleveland Browns. We saw the Minnesota Vikings struggle to stop Cleveland on the ground. The one thing that we didn't see was really this aerial attack on both sides. Odell Beckham Jr., not a factor basically at all for the Cleveland Browns. I think he had one big catch. There were some other opportunities, but Baker Mayfield, let's skip ahead, actually. Let's go here. Baker Mayfield is not good.
Yeah, and that's surprising. I think I've been, I wouldn't say I'm a believer in Baker Mayfield necessarily, but coming out of college, it didn't seem like it was an accident last year that Kevin Stefanski takes over for the Browns and Baker Mayfield, they kind of get in rhythm. And what was it? They made it all the way to the AFC Championship game before losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. And it was just, I don't know, Baker Mayfield looked horrendous. And that offense, if it wasn't for Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, I don't think they would have been able to do anything. But yet again, we're talking about the Vikings' run defense struggling, which was an area that we thought at the beginning of the season was going to be so drastically different from a year ago, because you get Dalvin Tomlinson, you get Michael Pierce. I know Michael Pierce ended up going out, in the third quarter or something. He didn't come back into the game. But we thought that area was going to improve. And 4 weeks into the season, we're yet to see that improvement.
Kirk Cousins entered the season. I heard Church say this on the pregame show, the last 10 games, I believe, he has been the top fantasy passing quarterback in fantasy football, the top quarterback in fantasy football for the last 10-game period of time. Seems a little crazy because Kirk doesn't do the things that we see guys like Kyler Murray do, but remember last year, that part of that was last year, and Kyler Murray was injured towards the end of last season, but today Kirk really put up a stinker. I'm looking real quick at Pro Football Focus. Kirk finished with a 66 rating on the day. The last time he got even close to that was week 2 of last season, the game against Indianapolis, an 11-28 loss where he had a passer rating of 15.9. Now, if I remember right, there are 3 interceptions in that game. Not all of them were necessarily on Kirk. There's, the Hail Mary in there. There's some tip passes and stuff in there. But outside of that, Kirk Cousins has had a season so far of a 106 passer rating, a 122, a 128. You go to back from last year, 127, 110, 98. 66 passer rating, his final stats on the day, Jack. 20 for 38, 203, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Potentially could have been more. We know how that went. He just didn't have it today.
No, he didn't. And I think to take that one step further, we've been talking about this, is he's had, he surpassed Peyton Manning's record of, I know it's Peyton Manning's with 23 consecutive games, but he was right there in second place with 17 straight games with a passer rating of above 90. And so to come in and lay a stinker, like you said, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, not just that it's 100% on Kirk Cousins, because the offensive line was not good. I think it's fair for the fans to be calling for Christian Darrisaw. It's fair to be calling for what they drafted in the first round to hopefully boost that offensive line, because the offensive line, we were talking about how good it was the last couple of weeks. This was their first true test. And I think they failed. I mean, I know it's not an easy task going up against Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney in that front four for Cleveland, but there's going to be harder tests. They play the Rams at one point in the season. They're going to have to go up against Aaron Donald. I don't know how that's going to go. This offensive line is going to have to continue to improve if they want to have any success, because Kirk Cousins, as much fun as it was a couple weeks ago to kind of talk about his mobility and this improvement that he's shown in that area of his game, he still needs time to throw the football because he's a true pocket passer. Yes, he can improve in that aspect of his game, but he's not Kyler Murray. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He needs time to throw the football. And if he doesn't have that, games like this usually happen when he's getting pressure constantly.
Right, and they spin out of control for this team. We did see Jack Christian Darrisaw active today for the first time. I didn't even pay attention, but I know the story before the game was he was going to get in the field goal unit. I don't know if he officially did or not. Anthony Barr was ruled out before the game, but it looks like he's getting closer. One move that we did see as far as personnel goes that happened mid-game was Bashaud Breeland getting benched for Cameron Dantzler. Now, the official ruling on that is it looks like Breeland went out with an illness, but this happened really early in the first quarter, and we never saw Breeland again. It was Dantzler the rest of the way. What do you think of Dantzler after the controversy and after wanting his shot? Did he take advantage of it?
I thought he played well, and I thought that was funny too, how the illness came after what looked to be a miscommunication between Bashaud Breeland and Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods was yelling at him, and the next play, the next series, Dantzler came out, and then it came out that it was an illness, and then Dantzler never left the field, I don't think. I tweeted that out during the game. I don't think he left. I think he played every single defensive snap after that point. It was him and Patrick Peterson, and I know this isn't necessarily the same passing attack when they don't have Jarvis Landry out there, but they have Odell Beckham Jr., and Cameron Dantzler was running stride for stride with him. I think he covered him fairly well. I think he had one pass breakup, but there's a couple where he was stride for stride and Baker just didn't deliver the pass. So it looked like he was good in coverage. And I think an area of the game that I appreciate more for cornerbacks is cornerbacks that come flying downhill and are very supportive in the run game. And Cameron Dantzler did that a couple times today, where it reminds me, I'm not going to say he's vintage Antoine Winfield because he has a long ways to go to get to that point, but coming downhill and helping in the run game, especially when you're going up against a lethal duo like the Cleveland Browns have, that's huge for cornerbacks to do. And I think he played well. I think that's where that nickname, the needle, comes from. And moving forward, if he can stay off of social media with some of the things he was tweeting, I would have no problem with having him be the starter over whatever it is, the 108th rated PFF cornerback in Bashaud Breeland.
Well, going into this game, Breeland, I think, had allowed the most receptions in the NFL, the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. Just was top to bottom. I think the quarterbacks had the highest passer rating. They're 1 point away, 1 point from a perfect passer rating when passing up against Bashaud Breeland this season. So I guess it can't get much worse. Like, it could get just a baby little bit worse if there was a perfect passer rating there, but Cam Dantzler's not going to allow that at this point. Jack, real quick, there are two more games before the Vikings take their Week 7 bye. They get the Lions at home next week, and then they go on the road to face the Carolina Panthers, who lost their first game today. Does this change your first thought on, we went into this game thinking that the Vikings might be back. Is this a game where you watch this performance and think, hey, maybe they're not back, or they lost to a good team?
I think it's a little bit of both. To an extent, I'm definitely thinking that, and that's why we're doing the initial reaction. I'm sure my thought process will change a little bit when we record on Tuesday, but Detroit has played teams fairly tough through their first 3 weeks of the season. Don't know how they did today. I know they were down 14-0 to Chicago at one point. That was the last I saw from that game. But going into Carolina, and then you have Dallas at home, and then you travel to Baltimore. Those games, those are tough football games to win. And if they somehow find a way to lose to Detroit, or like if this starts a spiral, this could turn into a very long season for Vikings fans.
Yes, we've seen those before, and hopefully that's not going to be the case. All right, Jack, any final thoughts before we sign off here? Are you good to go and kind of watch film and stew over this one for a little bit?
I think I'm good to go. Like I said, it was fun being back at the stadium, kind of watch this live. Didn't turn out kind of how we wanted it to turn out, but I'm sure we'll have some other thoughts on Tuesday, so make sure to tune in on Tuesday as well. And hopefully we'll have a little bit more optimism heading into that Detroit game next week.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to see. Right now, we don't have that. So, yes, like Jack said, we'll be back on Tuesday for a little bit of a deeper dive into this game. What went into it? What can be fixed? What are we worried about for the Minnesota Vikings coming out of this loss? A 14-7 loss at home to the Cleveland Browns. And Kevin Stefanski, his homecoming, he comes and gets the win over Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings. For Jag Day, I'm AJ Mansour. This is the State of Purple Podcast.
10 seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Nick. Stay in the ball. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 30. 10. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle. Oh, my God. No way. What a miracle finish.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.